Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome, welcome, welcome to Holy Living Nutrition with Dwayne Brasfield. I came to you today because I want to talk to you. I'm excited about our title show today. It's called The Uncontrolled Appetite of Battling Temptation. Now, I know that personally, no enemy you face as a Christian is more persistent than temptation. It starts with enticement, then it goes into conception, then into birth, then into death. So I want to talk about this today, and one of the things that I've always looked at when it comes to temptation is like the Bible says the Satan is always like a lion, right? He's just seeking to destroy us, and he doesn't come at us the same way. All of our temptation and all of our appetites are different. I mean, God has revealed himself to humanity through creation. We see him everywhere we look, and if people respond to that revelation by turning away from God, they'll experience God's judgment. See, it's not about us feeling like we're Christians that we can somehow get a pass. No, you have to have a personal relationship with him. You have to put yourself in a position where you understand that he is King of Kings and Lords of Lords, and he's the ultimate, right? But see, that judgment won't come by the way you might expect. I mean, God seldom strikes people with a bolt of lightning or make the earth swallow you up, right? I mean, his wrath or judgment comes as he allows your uncontrolled and distorted appetite to consume you. See, there's two spirits in this world. You got God's spirit and you have Satan's spirit. There's only two spirits here. It's either a God of light or a prince of darkness. See, these appetites are part of the sinful nature that we have. And unless we hold them in check through the power of God's Spirit, they will inevitably lead us to physical and spiritual destruction. But notice, when you read in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, Paul begins describing how he knew God. See, notice where the passage begins. It says, the people Paul described, they knew God. He talked about how these folks was turned over by their sinful desires, yet they deliberately covered the truth with their own wickedness. That's in verse 18. Now, this kind of denial and betrayal, it begins deep in the heart. This is not something that you just do. This is something that's a part of you. This is why it's hard for us to get away from it, see? And eventually, it will start to consume the body and the soul. Paul says that God will hand such people over to their sinful desires, and without God's spirit and the law to restrain them, right, their impure appetites will sweep them away into an immoral lifestyle. To justify their behaviors, when Paul was discussing this, they had to find a religious system that permits immorality. If they can't find one, they'll create one. And so you have people create these different groups, right, because it helps them feed what they're doing. God would also give them over to their shameful lusts, it says in chapter 26. See, now think about that. It says God would give them over. That means that you're no longer going to be with him, and if there's only two spirits, then he's giving you over to Satan, right? He said God would give them over to their shameful lusts. Okay, you want that? You have that. You can't be here with me. Since this seems to be what you want to do, then go ahead and do that. See? They'll do those things once they consider consequences. But some of them never see it. See? They'll do those things they once considered incorrect and start finding ways to make them correct. See? Now, there have been a lot of people who will say, well, you know, my God this and my God that. There's only one God, and his word is true. Ultimately, their bodies, right? Our bodies is our temple for God. But what are we doing to try to maintain that? God will hand them over to a depraved mind. See, once that happens, they won't even be able to tell right from wrong. This is why you have people who are out here and they're engaged in homosexuality and doing all these things because they have convinced themselves. They don't know right from wrong. Bible says that if you continue to go down that path, he's just going to let you go over to a depraved mind. So you end up with these parades thinking everything is correct and this is all great, right? And you have this shameful lust and this uncontrollable appetite and a depraved mind. Now don't get it twisted. We love our brothers and sisters all over the world, even those who are claiming to be Christian but living a lifestyle of homosexuality, a lifestyle of pornography, a lifestyle of doing those things, drug addiction. See, that old saying, love the sinner, hate the sin. We all are sinners. We all have things we're struggling with and we're fighting with and we're trying to overcome. But do you just accept it? Because if you do, God would give them over to shameful lust. If you do, God would hand them over to a depraved mind. He concluded in Romans as his discussion with them, this was a shocking statement, but those with a depraved mind know their behavior displeases God. How can you not? See, they're aware that God's judgment will fall upon them, yet not only do they continue in their lifestyle, see, they also applaud others who live the same way. This is why misery loves company, right? And you can have these gay parades and you can do all this stuff and you encourage people who do like you do. Why do you think when you try to do something different than all the friends are doing something bad, you know why they ostracize you? Because their sin is you're putting their sin in their face and they don't like that. See? All of a sudden you stop drinking and you stop partying and you stop womanizing and then your friends want to tell me, oh, you think you're brand new. No, it's not about being brand new. It's about making a change. It's being aware that it's time to make that change and decide to do it for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, in this content, Paul's letter to the Romans, the apostle wants us to know that sin is serious. It's progressive. It's deadly. But as the rest of the letter points out, there is forgiveness and freedom in Jesus Christ. As you look at our society, doesn't it seem as though God's judgment is already falling upon it? I mean, maybe you've been feeding your sensual appetite in a sinful way, but if so, put the brakes on now. I was in a men's retreat last week, and I can tell you it was probably one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. And it allowed you to be around all men. And what we did was we just talked about the things men have to deal with, the things you might not say in front of your woman, the things you might not say in front of your family, but the things we as men deal with every day. And being the leader and the heroes, see, we keep it to ourselves and we lock it in. And sometimes that can be very destructive. It can have a destructive pattern that you can build. And so you have to put on the brakes. It's never too late to repent. It's never too late to repent and turn to God. Allow your character to be molded constructively by God, not destroyed by your sinful appetite. Because battling temptation is not something that we can take lightly, right? We need to get a battlefield together with the Holy Spirit. I mean, temptation, there's no enemy that we will ever face that is more persistent than temptation. I mean, just about the time you think you've outrun it, temptation shows up around the next corner. When you think you finally delivered a knockout punch, it gets right back up and looks you in the face. But see, temptation is not only persistent, it is also persuasive. It winks at you from the billboard of those gentlemen's clubs as you're driving down the highway, and it entices you from that TV set when you're flipping through and you're hitting these reality TV shows that are showing all this sin is okay, see? It calls you from over the radio station. It lives in the newspapers when you flip the pages. It lives in the magazines and the books. It's as comfortable in your office as it is in your home. Temptation is everywhere. And Satan's been at this a long time. He knows what are your button triggers, right? He know he would never entice me from an alcoholic situation because I was never a big drinker my whole life. But I have friends of mine who tell me when they were battling alcoholism and they're trying to beat it, everywhere they looked, there was alcohol. There was nowhere they could turn. Even when they were trying to fight it, it seems to be everywhere. Isn't that how it works? See? If you're addicted to pornography, everywhere you look around, here's another image. You walk through the mall and you got the big Victoria's Secret women in their underwear, and you got everywhere you look. It's just sex, 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 everywhere. And people who are not battling that don't see what you see. Temptation is real. It must be fought. But you need an adversary, and that's Jesus Christ. See? No wonder the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, see, temptation is so slick, right? Because temptation will sucker punch you in the blink of an eye, and it would do so without any ounce of remorse. And when you think you got it all together and you got your ministry right and everything's rolling, he'll punch you right in the mouth to make you aware of the fact that are you as strong as you think you are? See? I mean, Jesus himself faced it. He overcame it, but he still faced it. Temptation while he walked on the earth. You can defeat temptation as well. See? If you depend on the Spirit to help you, and then you follow Jesus' example. I mean, how did Jesus actually defeat this powerful adversary? Well, first, he's Christ. But as the man, right? First, Jesus recognized the reality of his enemy. The Lord knew that Satan was a real being who was intending on luring him into sin. So you have to recognize that Satan is real. This is not a joke. He's been at this for thousands of years. See, I'm 48 years old. I can't touch thousands of years of experience. You need Christ. You need the Holy Spirit to help walk you through this. See, the Lord knew Satan was a real being. But be assured that your opponent, he's no phantom. He is a real being who will urge you to satisfy unhealthy appetites in a sinful, vulgar way via gambling, people selling their houses, bankrupting the family over these temptations, these urges, right? Jesus recognized that Satan, right, he deceives by mixing the truth of Scripture with the lie. See, Satan did this with Jesus, and he'll do it with you and I as well. I mean, for instance, the Bible promises that God will forgive a believer for any sin that he or she confesses. That's in 1 John chapter 19. But see, what Satan would do is he would take that truth and he'd whisper in your ear, go ahead and steal, fornicate. It doesn't matter. You know God's going to forgive you. Let's just do this. Let's get through this. See? You can ask God for forgiveness later. But satisfy that appetite. Satisfy that urge. I mean, heck, you're only human, right? God knows we have desires. Let's go ahead and do it. He'll forgive you. No, Jesus knew the Scriptures, see? So we need to know the Scriptures well. I mean, Jesus knew the Scriptures so well, He can combat such distortion with the truth. This is why we have to stay in the Word. And so we must stay in the Word. I mean, James, Jesus half brother, provided some additional guidance for us in our battle by showing us that temptation sometimes comes in four steps. And each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed, because he knows what to put in front of us. Then after our desires have been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth stages. Four stages of temptation. Enticement. Conception. Birth. And when it's fully grown, death. The key to resisting temptation occurs at the enticement phase and the conception stage. We avoid enticement by meditating on Scripture rather than fantasizing about our winnings at the dog track, or fantasizing about the pornography, or fantasizing about drinking that alcohol and what it would taste like just one more time. See? Fantasizing about something that appeals to our sinful nature is how he entices us into sin. We're guarded from conception by identifying and avoiding those situations that trigger our sinful appetites. See, you start to get enticed, and you know that after enticement, conception is next, and so we get past that by understanding and avoiding that when you start to recognize it right away. See, understand, however, that the Spirit plays a role in this. We can pray to him for the strength we need to avoid thoughts and places that tempt us to sin. If you want to guard yourself from temptation, take these steps today that I'm going to give you, because if you do this, this helped me. And even though I still battle temptation of different things, and you will always battle temptation, but that's why you have to have the Holy Spirit, and you follow these steps, and it allow you. Remember, God would only put on your plate what you can handle. See, he's always going to give you. What I've noticed is that he always gives you a way out. But you have to be paying attention to that way out and not ignore it, because as soon as you ignore it, you are giving in to the enticement. See, now you have the enticement, right? Now the conception is he gave you a way out. Now you got a choice. See, you know, it's like saying I accidentally got pregnant. I didn't know. No, there's no such thing as accidentally getting pregnant, right? Because there's a conception phase. And you knew when you were having sex with that woman, there was a chance she can get pregnant and give birth. So when you decide to have intercourse with that temptation, conception can occur. And when you know you're at that point that you're about to do that, you put yourself in a position and you say, I need to stop. Okay? The enticement phase has started. You know something might happen. I need to turn to the Holy Spirit. And not only do I turn to the Holy Spirit, I need to turn to the Holy Spirit now. We have to do it now, saints, to do it now. And these steps, the first one is begin by praying for the Spirit to empower your resolve and resist temptation. And next, you make a list of the situations in which you're most frequently tempted, right? I learned that in the men's group I was in. You list those things, right? Make yourself aware of them and devise a strategy to physically avoid them. If you want to see some real progress, share this list in a small group. When you share this list in a small group and ask them to check up on you, see, you build this brotherhood. You might also want to select a Bible verse to meditate on that will help you keep on your mind the right things of the Lord. Write it on the card. Carry it with you in your wallet. See? Because temptation is an enemy, but the Lord is his ally. The next time temptation mounts an attack, execute battle plan that will keep you on God's side. Because at the end of the day, God wants to dethrone us from the center of our own lives so we can live victoriously seeking him. Until next time, I'm your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Peace and joy. Love on somebody today. I'm out.
Track.